case is 084185, United States versus Javier Serrano Rangel. Good morning, Mr. Beals.
Good morning, Your Honors. If it pleases the court, my name is Bart Beals. I'm here on behalf of appellant Javier Soriano-Rangel. Your Honor, Mr. Rangel was arrested on October 3rd, 2005. He was charged with possession with intent to distribute 5 kilograms of mixtures of cocaine. He was also arrested with 5 other individuals, Mr. Cairo and Mr. Rubicava, and 3 other mechanics. Subsequent, a few years after he was arrested, after giving a proffer to the government in hopes of receiving a safety valve adjustment, he pleaded guilty on July 17th of last year, 2008, and he was sentenced on December 3rd of 2008. At the sentencing hearing, judging from the statements that were made by the district court, it appears that the district court impermissibly presumed that the sentencing guidelines were reasonable and effectively required the defense to convince. It appears the district court started with the presumption that sentencing guidelines were the starting point and they were reasonable and required the defense to convince the district court otherwise, district court does not enjoy that privilege, or I want to say privileged. District court is not allowed to presume the sentencing guidelines to be reasonable as a starting point, but it should be considered along with the other 3553 factors.
That's certainly true, but I have to say, looking at Judge Hibbler's comments as a whole, I was not struck that he thought he had to presume the guideline sentence reasonable and then impose some burden to go away from it. I think he understood the guidelines were advisory. He said he had an opportunity to ignore them, to go less. He says, I'll apply the guidelines, which are advisory. District courts have some kind of a delicate task in that they need to acknowledge the requirement to calculate the guideline sentence so that that can help inform them. And at the same time, they've got the discretion that we all know, post-Booker, post-everything else, Kimbrough, Gall, et cetera. So it just seems to me wrong to seize on one phrase or another. You need to look at the sentencing hearing as a whole.
Well, Your Honor, I would just point out, Your Honor, it is true that if it were just one phrase or maybe just two phrases, that may very well be the case. But in this situation, there were 4 phrases, and quite frankly, I could have mentioned even another phrase in addition to the 4 that were listed in the appellant's brief. And the tenor of the phrases, the statements the court made, statements to the effect of that that his hands were tied, that he had no other choice but to impose to impose within the sentencing guideline range.
I don't remember him saying his hands were tied. Mm-hmm. He had to do that at all.
Where does it say that?
If the court, if I can ask, if I just ask the court's indulgence for a second.
He talks about that he can sentence less than the guidelines under Booker. He says, I know the guidelines are, quote, advisory, and I understand that.
I believe it's, if I can ask for the court's indulgence, I do believe it's on page 33.
In your brief, you point out a place where he says there's no basis on, where he's referring to the 3553 factors, to reduce the sentence. And he says something along the lines of why I should, give me reasons why I should consider a sentence below the guideline range. But that really just seems like a matter of phrasing. Once he Well, I guess maybe what you're saying is he can find no legal basis to depart from that guideline sentence, but this is all in the context of talking about the 3553A factors. I think he's trying to tell you he thinks this is a reasonable sentence. In this case, he thinks that, not that he's required to think that.
Well, Your Honor, as I mentioned in my brief, if you look at the four statements mm-hmm. that were made by the district court, he starts out with the court is he's
yeah,
constantly mentioning the
yeah.
sorry he's constantly mentioning the sentencing guidelines, and he's asking the defense to convince him to sentence, to look at a different sentence.
All right. Now, suppose he had prefaced this by the following two statements. Statement one, I understand the guidelines are advisory. And statement two, but in this case, I think a sentence within the guideline range would be a reasonable sentence for Mr. Serrano Rangel. Then he goes on and talks about 3553A. Wouldn't it sound a lot like this transcript?
Yeah,
surely there would be nothing wrong if he prefaces it with those two statements.
Generally speaking, Your Honor, it would not be anything wrong. However, we have to take a look at the tone and the tenor of the statements.
Mm-hmm.
He's constantly when the statements were made that there's no basis as to why the government why the court should consider a sentence below below the factors. Should consider a sentence below the actual guideline range, and specifically in one of the more troubling statements is there's no basis, presumably upon the 3553 factors, to reduce the sentence. The whole concept of reducing a sentence means that you start with, there's a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's because it seems to me that the argument was Mr. Serrano Rangel's contribution to the conspiracy was minor. And, the judge pointed out that he had not only stored the cocaine but had his employees package it. So he did not believe that, that was minor.
Well, Your Honor, I see my time is up. I was trying to reserve some rebuttal time.
But you may go on if you wish.
Yes, Your Honor. When the court made the statement that there's no basis upon 3553 factors to reduce the sentence, the issue of whether or not Mr. Soriano-Rangel should receive a reduction for a minor role was a separate issue that was handled before the actual issue of the court determining the sentence. Now, whether or not Mr. Soriano-Rangel fit the criteria for a minor role, that went into the actual calculation of the sentencing guideline factors. Calculation of the sentencing guideline range, I should say. In this case here, to say that there's no basis to reduce the sentence, it clearly means that you start with the sentence and you're now requiring some persuasion to go below the sentence. A reduction means that you're taking away, which means a starting point in this case would have to be the sentencing guideline range, not on a 3553 factors. The sentencing guideline range is just one of many factors to be considered by the court.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr.
Nylan.
May it please the court, I'm Bob Mylan on behalf of the United States. I respectfully request that you affirm the district court's sentence. The district court did not impermissibly presume that the sentencing guidelines were reasonable. No single statement made by the district court should be taken in a vacuum.
I'm wondering why Caro and Rivalcaba each received 129 months.
The record is void as to what happened with the co-defendants. However, I can tell Your Honor that they received 11C1C sentences in regards to their sentence because of their cooperation, and that's why. If read in its entirety, the district court clearly expressed its awareness of the court's sentencing discretion and that the facts of the case dictated the sentence, not some presumption. On page 32 of the sentencing transcript, the district court states, the court has some opportunity, pursuant to Booker, to change the guidelines, to ignore the guidelines, to set a sentence less, which is what your lawyer asks. District court goes on page 34, and states, I think that the advisory guidelines, based upon the facts of this case, is not unreasonable based upon the court's understanding. Again, the sentence was driven by the facts of the case, not by some presumption. And the court goes on. After hearing from the mitigation witnesses, the arguments of both sides, and the defendant himself, the court states, I will apply the sentencing guidelines, which are advisory. And I understand that. But under the circumstances of this case, I think that the guidelines are reasonable. Again, the sentence was driven by the facts of the case and not by some presumption. I'd like to point out a number of the statements the counsel refers to that he argues on his behalf. For instance, the court says, I will listen to the defense arguments as to why the court should consider a sentence below the guidelines. There's nowhere in that statement that indicates any presumption whatsoever. It's based on what was said the page before on page 9, where the defense counsel is actually asking for a sentence below the guidelines.
So he's already said at that point that he thinks in this particular case the guidelines sentence is a reasonable one. He's already announced that he has found, as a matter of fact, that a sentence within the guideline range is reasonable.
No, not yet. This is on page 10. The statements that I just referred to, they all occur on page 32, 33, and 34.
So I guess your opponent's concern is that he is, in fact, starting with some thumb on the scale, that you've got to overcome the guideline sentence because of these factors, as opposed to simply throw it all into the pot and see what comes out.
That's my opponent's position, but as was noted earlier, if you look at the entire sentencing transcript by the district court, it's clear that there is no unreasonable presumption. It's clear that he is absolutely aware that there is no presumption, that he has discretion in this. And finally, that he is driven, the district court was driven by the facts of the case and the background of this defendant. He goes on to another point. The defense brought up is that he says this quote, there is no basis upon, in the defendant's brief, it says these factors. That's not what it says. It says there is no basis upon these facts to reduce the sentence. Well, that's quite a big difference because, again, the district court was driven by the facts of the case. Defense points out on page 34, I think all the factors of the statutes indicate to me that none of those three 3553 factors are present in this case or any other factors that would approve the court or require the court or allow the court to find that a reduction in the indicated guidelines is warranted in this case. And again, it's clear from the entire transcript that the court is driven by the facts of the case and not by presumption. In light of that, I'd ask that the sentence of the district court be affirmed. Thank you.
Your Honor, I would just like to point out a couple of matters. First, regarding to the 11C1C plea agreements that were, they're not a part of the record because they weren't made available on PACER, but the sentencing disparity is actually factor 6 in under the 3553 factors. The district court listed a couple of factors, specifically to promote respect for law, and a couple of other factors, and sentencing Ms. Soriano-Rangel. However, the district court ignored the actual potential disparity. Now, 11C1C plea agreement requires the approval of the court to enter into. So the district court was aware of the potential disparities, or should have been aware of the potential disparities in this case. And specifically, since there were only three defendants in this case, that was the case. And just one last point I want to point out, Your Honors. The tenure, and going to the tenure of the presumption of reasonableness, all of these statements are reduce, allow, require the court to reduce, reduce a sentence, should, the statement of should consider a sentence below the guideline range. All the statements are made with either talking about sentencing below the guideline range or reducing the guideline range, which once again demonstrates a starting point of the guideline range as the tipping point. This is where the court should start with, and convince me otherwise. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Fields, thank you very much. You also were appointed pro bono, and thank you for the fine job you've done for your client. It really is very appreciated by this court.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you as well. Okay.